Good evening. I once read a story. The story was that of a soldier who fought in the Lord's army, and he fought on many courageous battles against the forces of evil, and he received many battle scars along the way. The day finally came when he received a fatal wound, and all of heaven turned out to meet him to pay honor. However, when looking upon his spirit, it was as pure and unharmed as the day he was born. All were amazed until they noticed that he had been fatally wounded in the back. Was it your habit to turn your back on the enemies of the Lord? One asked. Oh no, he exclaimed. I faced the enemies head on, and the shield of faith protected me against the fiery darts of the enemy. However, I have suffered grievously from the arrows in the back of those whom I was leading. Those of the Lord's own people who make it a practice of attacking their leaders from the rear. I thought it was an interesting story because it tells us something about the way we should treat others. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. How can we be the church that Christ died for if we treat our brethren like enemies? Jesus doesn't want us to treat others the way they treat us. He wants to treat others the way we would like to be treated by them. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. I'm afraid that too often times we focus so much on what one needs to be, what one needs to do to be saved, that we overlook the fact that Jesus speaks far more on what we need to do to remain saved, how we need to act. I would never accuse a Christian of deliberately ignoring God's commands. However, I can't help but wonder if some people believe that since they've obeyed the gospel, they can live however they want. Ungodly ways. Maybe they believe they can treat Christians however they want. Have you ever noticed how some people will treat outsiders better than they treat their own family? Oh, hi, how are you? Stop that! Turn and yell at their, snap at their own children, but treat other children with dignity, with respect. I'm afraid that sometimes that happens with the church. We treat people from without better than we treat people within. The truth is, even if your brother treats you badly, you're still supposed to treat them with love and compassion. If someone treats you badly or lashes out to you, you should still treat them with compassion. The Pharisees were guilty of the same thing. They would put great emphasis on some things while totally neglecting others. They would focus on things that they thought were important, neglecting all the rest of the law. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. They were to do all the things of the law, all the things they were commanded. We too should be careful that we don't fall into the same trap, drawing a line as to how much we're willing to do for the Lord. Now, that's just a little bit too much. Oh, that's just a little bit unreasonable to ask me to do that. How far are you willing to go to restore a relationship? How far are you willing to go? Have we even noticed that there may be some problems within relationships of those who are in the church? You think about this right now in the time of the things that our country is going through. How many people are missing tonight? Not because they don't come on Sunday nights, but because they're not coming due to COVID. And where are those relationships going? Have we kept those relationships alive? Have we reached out to those relationships? I once was told by a man who moved away from here, he called and he said, you know, I'm really hurt. I said, why are you hurt? And he goes, because no one's called me. No one's reached out to me. It was like once we moved away, we were forgotten. Nobody even reached out to me. They moved. They moved to another place, to another town, to another congregation, way away. They weren't close. But he still felt slighted that no one had reached out to him and stayed in contact with him. It was like we were only friends as long as we were there. And now we're no longer friends. And that felt bad. That hurt. I could see where that would hurt. How far are we willing to go to maintain a relationship? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Do we honestly believe we're doing the kingdom of God service by being mad at a friend or at a family member or a brother or sister in Christ? Can we keep pent up anger towards someone else and believe that we're doing a service to God? Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Very well-known passage. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. You notice in this passage that it doesn't say if you go to him and he refuses to listen, then write him off. It says don't give up. Keep going back. Keep going back. Keep going back. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they're like, I'm not ready to talk to you yet. I don't want to talk to you. I'm okay. Don't give up on them. He's telling you, don't give up. Jesus was talking about forgiving your brother and doing everything in your power to make things right, even when he is unwilling to. Peter understood the concept that Jesus was trying to get across. He understood it well, or else he wouldn't have asked the question in verse 21. Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter had this attitude. He said, well, how many times do I have to forgive him? Like seven times? Over and over. When we think of that, we look at this passage and we think, yeah, I don't know. Seven times, that's a lot. Peter actually was looking at it seven times as being a lot. How many times should I forgive him? Should I like let it go like seven times? What was Jesus' answer to him? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Was Jesus talking about literally 490 times? No. He was just saying that you think seven times is a lot? No, multiply that 70 times. And it's still not enough. We should reach out and forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should ask for forgiveness when we deserve forgiveness, when we want forgiveness, when we want to repent. Ask for forgiveness. Jesus gave Peter a number much greater than he would expect so that he would realize that we're supposed to continue to forgive as long as that brother asks for forgiveness. You think about this. How many times has God forgiven you? Seven times? 70 times seven? If you multiply 70 times seven, has God forgiven you that many times? Is he almost out? You got about three more. Watch out. No, the forgiveness of God is measurable. If we live according to the wisdom of God, there will be no envying, no strife in our lives. Sometimes as Christians, we adopt the practices of the world and we apply them to the brethren in the church, and then we wonder why we can't get along. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If someone is full of mercy and good fruits, they will be easy to be entreated. That is, they will be compliant. If they are compliant, they are approachable. I can remember when I was in junior high, I had a teacher who would put the lesson on the board and then present it to the class and explain it and then sit back down. And we were supposed to go through and do our work. And I remember my grades were poor. I was having very poor grades in that class. And my parents asked me what seems to be the problem. Why was I not doing better? Was I paying attention? I said, the problem is not that I'm paying attention. It's that I don't understand what he's saying. They said, well, you need to ask questions. You need to ask him. You know, tell him you don't understand so he'll explain it to you. Then you can make better grades. That makes sense. So the next time he draws something out on the board and I didn't understand it, I said, you know, I don't understand it. And he said, loud enough for everybody in the room to hear, I just explained it to you. Weren't you listening? Is there anybody else in here that doesn't understand? And everybody else just kind of sunk down in their chairs and went back to their work. He was so unapproachable that we couldn't learn anything from him. Looking back, I wish I had the wisdom or the hindsight that I have now. To where as a little kid I could have said, did you become a teacher so that you could scream at little kids? Did you become a teacher so that you could teach kids who already understand and already know what you're teaching? Is what you're teaching so low that the kids should already understand it? Why are you in this profession? None of those answers would have been appropriate. However, when you think about it, do we sometimes act the same way? To our children, to other people's children, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our brethren in the church. Another thing we need to look at in this verse is without partiality and without hypocrisy. What would cause a parent to treat one of their children better or worse than others? I know people who have warped personalities because they were treated inferior to their siblings for some reason or another. I've seen grandkids who resent their grandparents because their grandparents showed partiality to one. The first one or the last one or one that was a favorite child because they were closer or because they were farther. Whatever the case may be, it happens. We in the church often feel slighted by brethren who don't include us in their activities or they show partiality to others. Charlie was telling me, several times he's told me they were in the habit of going to Subway and having a sandwich after services on Sunday night. And he came and he told me, he said, let me tell you something. He said, I just want you to know that any time that you want to go with us and eat, you're welcome to go with us. You're invited to go with us and to go sit down with my family and eat any time. I just don't say it every Sunday. Sometimes people will feel slighted if someone doesn't say something to them. It's a shame. I know a congregation, they hired a young man and his wife to be their preacher. They went there excited, the first work he ever started. He was excited, he was a good preacher. Over time, he found that the congregation would treat him like he was an outcast. He would find out that there were groups talking about, yeah, we had a little get-together at so-and-so's house last night. They were having these get-togethers. They were having congregational meetings. They were having congregational fellowships without the preacher and his wife, without him and his family. He was a hireling to them. They were cliquish and refused to let him into the group. He figured he could get over it. Maybe this is what it takes as a new preacher to crack the shell of a new congregation that you've not preached at before. Maybe it is that this is the way all congregations are. It was his first work. He had no idea. Well, over time, he found that it was very difficult for him and his wife to live on an island, so to speak. No friends. No way to get to know people in the community. And he tried and he'd get out and meet people in the community and stuff like that. But he really needed Christian fellowship. The one thing that he needed as a preacher was Christian fellowship, and he wasn't getting it. And he eventually resigned. And they said, fine, and let him go. Without so much as an argument, without so much as an explanation. Perhaps it was the intent of the congregation all along. Perhaps it is that they hired him and realized that maybe he's not the right fit, but instead of telling him, we don't think this is going to work out, we want to terminate your employment here. We'll work things out and let you go find another job while we try to find someone else. Maybe that was their intent. I hate to think that they would be that way, but instead, whatever it was, maybe they decided, let's just make him feel uncomfortable till he quits. That way we don't have to fire him. Because that surely wouldn't look good on a resume. We're doing him a favor. I don't know. I don't know what their intent was. But I do know that he resigned and he walked away. I don't know if he's still preaching. I'm sure he is somewhere. The Bible tells us we should not act like this. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Timothy 5 verse 21. I charge thee there before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. The last part of that verse is what I want to look at. Doing nothing by partiality. Nothing by partiality. We are not to select one over the other. Choose one over the other. Elevate one over the other. The Old Testament law stated that people were to treat people with equality. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Don't belittle the poor and don't elevate the rich. Everyone should be treated with equality. How many times have you watched a movie where they have a prince or they have a princess or they have someone who is of great wealth and they pretend that they're not so that the person that they meet can get to know them for who they are and fall in love with them for who they are and then find out later on that he was a prince after all and she married a prince and she got wealthy and all of that. There's story after story after story like that. Why is that? It is because it's to show that the wealthy oftentimes get treated differently. Oh, they only want to be my friend because I'm wealthy. They only want to be... And on the other hand, the wealthy treat other people, well, they're just after my money. They're just after my money. Whatever the case may be. For some reason, social status and material status, wealth and things like that cause people to treat other people differently. What if God were to treat others better than He treats us? How would we feel? We know He will not, because Romans chapter 2 verse 11 tells us, Romans chapter 2 verse 11 tells us there is no respect of persons with God, meaning that He will not select Larry and tell Larry, okay, Larry, come here, I want to tell you something. You have been chosen by God. And the Bible, people say, well, the Bible says He did do that. He doesn't do that in the New Testament. He's not going to come out and tell you. Somebody comes and says, God came and spoke to me. You know what? I got to tell you this. God came and spoke to me. I heard a voice booming from heaven. God came and spoke to me. I don't believe that because the Bible says there's no respecter of persons. Why would He select you over me? Why would He select you over Mingo? Why would He select you over Danny? Because He's partial to you. That's what you're saying. And that's not the case because the Bible tells us that's not the case. We know that God is just and fair. We can. What can be said of you? Are you just and fair? Are you just as God is just? Are you fair as God is just? Do people say that you are honest? When someone talks about you or someone speaks about you, what do they say about you behind your back? What kind of person is that? Well, he's a good person. He's an honest person. She's honest. She's fair. She will treat people right. Do people say that you treat everyone equal? I worked with a guy one time who his nephew actually worked for the company. And I noticed that his nephew had done work outside in a different division or different department and got sent back into his department. And I noticed he put him over a job and put him in a position that he wasn't quite qualified for. And I asked him, I said, why would you let your nephew do the job that there was another employee that is more qualified for? And he looked me square in the eye and he said, well, because blood is thicker than water. Blood is thicker than water. I want to take care of my sister's kid. Blood is thicker than water. He was partial to him because it was his nephew. Are we as Christians guilty of the same sort of attitude? When people think of you, do they know that you love your family, but also know that you have the attitude, as long as your family is taken care of, everyone else can fend for themselves. Family first, everyone else last. What is a preacher's job? First comes God. Second comes the people. Third comes me. That's the way it should be. Do you hold others to a higher standard, yet overlook the faults of your own household? Because blood is thicker than water? Do you do the opposite? Because they're blood, you hold them to a higher standard than you do others? This is an evil attitude and goes against the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, the very next verse is the verse that says, enter ye in at the straight gate. From this passage, we get that even if we're Christians, if we don't treat people right, then we're on the wrong path. We're going through the wrong gate. We're going through the wide way that leads to destruction. We ever heard the phrase, he'd give you the shirt right off his back? Everybody has, right? You ever heard somebody say that phrase? He'd give you the shirt right off his back. Then clarify it by saying, if he likes you. He'd give you the shirt right off his back. If you're one of his, if you're part of his group, if he likes you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In 2003, the Natalia Church of Christ hired a preacher like we've never had before. Stephen Patterson came to work for the Natalia Church of Christ and took Natalia by storm. No one had ever heard anybody yell from the pulpit loud enough to hear in the next county. I remember sitting in the front pew when Stephen was preaching the tryout sermon. And he got loud, and he got louder, and he went over time, and nobody knew it. And when he said that it was time to step down, and as he stepped down from the pulpit, as he was finishing out his sermon, I thought, surely it can't be over already, and realized he had gone already 20 minutes over, proclaiming the Word of God. He became a mentor to me, not only in his preaching, but in something else. There's something I found out about Steve as I got to know him and I fell in love with him and his family, is that he was a giver. And I don't mean a giver in that he'd give you something, give you the shirt off his back because he would. But I saw him struggle to pay his bills because he had given to others so much. And he would give and he would give and he would give and he would write a check. We don't have it. Write it anyway. They need it. And he would give to those who were in need until he himself wondered how he was going to pay his bills. Yet he paid them. He did it. He lived on nothing because he was such a cheerful giver. And he still is. If we go around treating badly, it's just a matter of time before it comes back to us. Likewise, if we treat people with dignity and respect, this too will come back to us. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What are you sowing today? Are you sowing to the flesh? Are you sowing to the Spirit? Have you obeyed the gospel yet? Do you still treat people the same way you did before you became a Christian? Do you treat Christians better now because you became a Christian, so you treat Christians well, but those people who are not Christians, you still treat them the way you did before you became a Christian? Have you been washed in the blood of Christ, yet daily put Him to an open shame by the way you live and breathe? Are we the ones being talked about in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 5 and 6? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. If we've convinced ourselves that we can be acceptable to God and still live in such a way that people don't know we're Christians, or if some Christians are treated by the world better than they're treated by us, then we better examine our lives and make some changes in our lives. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. How are we treating others, and are we living the life that we should live as Christians? Are we giving? Are we caring? Do we find partiality in our judgment, or do we treat people fairly? Sometimes it's something that we just take for granted. The way we act, the way we live, the way we move and breathe, we just do it out of habit. We think of it as instinct, so to speak. But when it comes to acting like a Christian and being a Christian, living the Christian life, it's the love of Christ that compels us to live in a certain way. We may need to examine ourselves and say, I want to do the best I can and live the best I can for Christ. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come all together? We stand and sing the song that's been selected.